Just a moment, we'll be reading the scripture, Matthew 7, 7 through 12, and pray together. Need to mention one thing that's been pointed out to me. I have a distinct advantage being a preacher. So when my grandson is born, you can see a picture, but someone like the Hennessys, they just had a baby this week, Doug and Leslie. And Doug is here, but he doesn't have a mom. Mom and baby are not here, but they did have a child this week, and we congratulate them. Now, he will have the advantage. We ought to make you stand on that, you know, Doug. He will have the advantage because he will have his actual son here physically where he can touch and feel him. And, excuse me, girl, that's right. And when that happens, we will be glad to introduce her to the congregation. Glad to have that information brought up. Okay, let's read together Matthew 7, 7 through following. Then we'll pray. And as I mentioned, at the end of our lesson today, rather than the usual invitation, we'll have the garden of prayer that I'll speak about. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Let's pray together. Lord, we come before you as our Father. We believe because your word tells us that you have so loved this world that Christ Jesus came to give his life for our sakes. And we hear our Lord and Savior saying that we should ask, that we should seek, and that we should knock. And so, Lord, we do that this morning. Help us to learn the meaning of this. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who has not named Jesus, that they will learn to ask, seek, and knock so that he will be the Savior of their lives. Also, Lord, help us to know more about the Golden Rule and the Sermon on the Mount and how it can become part of our participation in your kingdom. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, how are you feeling about the Sermon on the Mount? We're in chapter 7 now. And most of this chapter now is about exhortations, the earlier teachings, exhorting us to choose which way, narrow way, wide way, what kind of fruit we're going to have, what kind of builder we're going to have in our lives. And so it's really pointing and asking us those kinds of things. Do you ever feel that the Sermon on the Mount is hard? It's easy to read, isn't it? Doesn't take but probably 10 or 15 minutes to read the whole thing, but to meditate upon it. To talk about being poor in spirit, to talk about loving your enemies, to talk about going the extra mile or praying for your enemies and doing good to those that hate you. All of these kind of things. It isn't a little difficult? It's a lot easier just to come to church, isn't it, and kind of check out a little while. It's easier to say a little prayer occasionally, but to really put these into practice, oh, it's hard, isn't it? Well, what do you think about those people that follow Jesus? Do you think they were kind of amazed at his teaching and said, well, you know, Lord, how are we going to be able to do these things? I think of those thousands of people that followed him. They have to say, yes, this touches our hearts. But with our heads, we know we're not that kind of people. Isn't that truth? Isn't that true with all of us? We're not those kind of people. We don't instinctively follow the Sermon on the Mount. We don't instinctively follow this golden rule. In fact, when I look at this chapter right here, we're going to look at the golden rule more tonight. If you're looking at that, we'll get most of that tonight. But this section on asking, seeking, and knocking has to do with the kind of people we're going to be. This isn't just about approaching God in prayer, but it's in this section of what kind of participants in God's kingdom are we going to be. And so often, we're the kind of people that he's previously talked about, that are judging, that are blaming, that are excusing ourselves. We're the kind of people that look down on others. Well, probably we wouldn't call them dogs, but he said that's the way we are, so many of our techniques. we look at people and we wonder why they don't get it, and we just force what we believe is the kingdom message on them. And so we just force them till they're like dogs that turn on them, or like pigs that turn. They don't accept that, and so we treat them that way. But in between that, this teaching is that and the sermon and the golden rule, which says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you see that difference there? This is talking about how to put the kingdom principles to practice in your life. From judging, from blaming, from excusing yourself, over to saying, I want to practice this golden rule of doing to others as I would want them to do unto me. The question is not, what would Jesus do? That's a common question. That's a good one. But the question is, what would Jesus want us to do as representatives of his kingdom? And isn't that the question? And so we know, just like those people, that we're not up to the task. We're not there. How do we get there to practicing the golden rule and practicing these principles of the kingdom? The solution are in these three words: ask, seek, knock. Now, those are imperatives, but they're also present imperative, which means they can be translated like this: asking, seeking, knocking, which implies there is a continual attitude. You're asking, ongoing, not just once, not just something you can do and forget about. You're seeking, you're doing more. You're not just asking, but you're putting it into practice. And knocking has to do with perseverance. You find there's oppositions. You don't quit. You don't stumble. You just simply keep going on, because it's something you've asked about, you've sought about, and now you're not going to let obstacles prohibit you from practicing it. See, that's the principle here. And it has to do with our approach to God and finding in Him the strength and the power to do these things, because fundamentally, I know that I'm not up to the task. And I believe that you'd confess the same things. In a humanly way of speaking, we are sinners. We're self-interested. We don't do those kinds of things. But when we ask of God, when we seek from Him, when we knock on the doors that He will open, things can happen to us that we would never imagine. That's what I want you to believe today. Now, I believe a real life story helps us to illustrate this. So I'm going to tell what I call the Marilyn Howard story. Now, I'm going to embarrass her a little bit, but I asked, and she said, I have permission to tell this story. Several weeks ago, Marilyn called me and said, one of the people that we work with, his father is dying, and he's really on my heart. I would like to go and to be able to witness to him. I would like to be able to have a prayer. Would you go with me? And I said, sure, I'll be glad to go. Now, that happened on the same day that Kathy was having her surgery. So we went up to see Kathy and the family, and then we excused ourselves after a while, and we went over to see her friend's father. And as we went there, the father's son, I didn't know the family, but obviously these are good friends of hers. And son came and told us, well, there's really nothing we can do. He hasn't had much consciousness. And when he has been conscious, he really hasn't been very cognitive. So we really think that he's going to expire. So I thought, well, we're too late. We're too late to give the witness that Marilyn wants to have. And so we chatted, we visited a little bit, and then before we left, I said, could we have prayer? So we went into the room to pray. And so we held hands and prayed, and the man was unconscious in this bed. And to honest truth, I didn't really know what to pray. I prayed typically, Lord, thank you for the facilities that are caring. But I mean, if a man's going to die, what are you thankful for? I mean, you're thankful for the care that he can receive at the last minute. But what was on my heart is what Marilyn had to say, is that she wanted to speak a word to this man about Jesus Christ. And so I simply prayed, Lord, if there is some way that this word can enter in this man's heart, would you please let this happen? Well, as soon as I said the amen, his eyes were open. And I thought, that's a tremendous sign right there. And as soon as his eyes were open, Marilyn went over to this man, and she started talking to him. And Believe me, when Marilyn is going to witness, she's going to give a very beautiful witness. And she began to talk to this man, and do you know who is here? And she told him that she had it very much on her heart to witness to him about Jesus Christ, about him being his Savior, that he's very near, that she could receive him right now. And I believe the man looking at her with eyes intent had that opportunity to hear that word, which we prayed for. And then Marilyn said, "Is there something we can do for you?" And he said, with very cognitive mind, "Pray for me." Now, I was delighted to be there and to be a ministry companion to Marilyn. But she cracked down on the most beautiful prayer. And she prayed fervently for this man. She prayed that Jesus could come into his heart. She prayed that he might have faith, that he might realize that the blood of Jesus Christ is for him. Now, I'm not going to go on about the fervency of that prayer, but I will just tell you, it is one of the most fervent prayers that I have ever heard. And I hope this man received, in the faith that he had, the prayer that Marilyn prayed. Now, we both had our prayers answered to some degree. We wanted that word to be given to him. He seemed comatose, but through our prayer, his eyes were open. He was able to hear. This isn't really a prayer so much about the man, although we did have some answered prayers there. This is the prayer about Marilyn Hyard. Because, I want to tell you this, 2 years ago, Marilyn came up to me on a Wednesday night after church. You remember this, Marilyn? In a Bible class here, she said, "Daryl, I would appreciate it if you would not call on me to read Scripture anymore." I said, "Okay." Down through the years, there have been people that, for one reason or the other, don't like to read. Either they're embarrassed or they don't feel like they're a good reader. So Marilyn said, "Please don't ask me to read." I said, "Okay, that's fine, I won't." But several months after that time, Marilyn came to see me in the office, and she said, "You know, I've been praying with the Lord and wrestling over this, and the Lord has shown me that I need to step up to the plate, that I don't need to be shy about this. And so by asking of the Lord, he has told me to move forward and read these scriptures again. And so if you want to ask me to read, I'll be glad to." Now, that's a very small thing, but you know what I think that is? This demonstrates this principle about asking from the Lord. Sometimes so many of us are shy. We don't want to step up to the plate. We don't want to do anything that makes us uncomfortable. That's what Marilyn was saying. Now, you know anything about Marilyn Hyard? Have you been in any of her classes that she's taught over here? Have you seen some of the good ministries that she's done? She asked. She's been seeking. That means not just asking, but doing and participating and knocking. Now, knocking means that when you've been asking and when you've been seeking participation, you've got those obstacles in your way. Obstacles. You don't know the way around. You're not sure how to proceed. And so you're praying. You're praying and you're knocking on God's door. And you're saying, "Open the door, God." Now, the open door means an invitation to go forward. Paul many times prayed for an open door for evangelism. Many times in Scripture, the open door means that you have an opportunity to go forward. And you rejoice in that. Do you see how this Scripture relates how we're to participate in the kingdom? You ask of God. You say, "I will not be shy about these things, but I know that I'm not there. So I'm asking God." And then you participate, believing that God will help you. He will work in your life. And so you seek to participate. And when you have troubles and you have difficulties and you're not sure how to proceed, you knock and you ask for the open door. And these kingdom principles will become more evident in your life. God will begin to work more in your life. You will practice this golden rule toward others far more than you've ever done before in your life. Now here Jesus says, God is like a father. I want you to know, if you ask of God, he's not like a father you can demand things of. How many of you fathers respond well to your children when they come out and demand something of you? Not very well at all. Unless you've got a child that's in control of your family, and in which case I need to talk to you. But you see, God is a loving father who wants the best for us. He wants us to participate in his kingdom. And so when parents are asked by their children, "Can I have one of those delicious cookies, Mother, that you've made?" You would say, "Of course you may, unless, of course, it's right before supper time, in which case you could have it after supper time." So the request is good, but you just kind of alter it, right? But if, on the other hand, you're going to Weight Watchers or you're trying to lose weight because you've been eating too much, and you ask for those cookies, Mom might say, well, not now, but maybe later when you've done what you need to do. Then you can have some cookies. But her sympathy is there wanting you to have those cookies, right? In the same way, he's telling us here that God is like a father. And if a son comes to a father and says, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some bread? Bread is the staff of life in the Middle East. Is he going to mock him by giving him a round stone? If he says, Dad, I need some fish or something to eat, is he going to give him a snake? No father in the right mind who cares for his children would do that. God is a good father who gives us good things, who wants us to participate fully in his kingdom by his presence and his power. So when we are asking, when we are seeking, when we are knocking, we need to believe that God is there like a father. Not because we've demanded things, and James lets us know that so many times when we ask, well, we don't have because we don't ask, and when we do have, we're asking about things for our selfish interests. But when we ask, we need to believe that God is there. So we keep on asking, we keep on participating, we keep on knocking. And we believe that God works in our lives and enables us to participate in kingdom ways that we do not fully understand. How many of you want to participate in the Sermon on the Mount, in the kingdom principles, with vivid imagination, fulfilling the dream of God in your life, in your community? I believe that most sincere Christians do. Ask. A number of years ago, my son went to college. Now he's married with two kids. But I knew when he went to college that I didn't want him to turn out like my older brother. You know, older brothers often set an example, many times bad examples, and so you learn from their mistakes. My brother married after the first year of college, had two kids before he graduated with no job, and got into a lot of debt. So I learned that not only can two not live as cheaply as one, but four can't, especially if they don't have a job and somebody's working. So I told him, I said, now look, son, I'm just a preacher, but we're going to get you through this college thing. By the way, I don't believe parents owe their children college education. But if your parents love you and care for you, they'll probably try to help you. So that's why I said to him, son, look, we're going to try to get you through college. You're going to take loans. I'm going to take loans. We're going to do everything we can to get you through college, but I will pay back those loans and get you through that college, and then you're on your own. Unless, of course, you decide to marry in college. Then you're on your own ahead of time. So we understood the ground rules. Okay, now, most of the people that go to college, university, or someplace like that are going to meet someone, some beautiful young thing, and they're going to get married. So he knew the ground rules ahead of time. Comes to me the third year of college. He said, Dad, I want to talk to you. I've got the girl of my dreams. I want to get married. I said, well, you know, we talked about the ground rules. He said, yeah, but I want you to listen to me. Now, fathers should at least listen if they disagree to their sons. He said, now look. He said, you know, I'm wanting to go into ministry, and Kate's wanting to get this teaching certificate. And we know that if we go out of college without being married, I'm going to go in this direction, and she's going to go in this direction. But if we marry that last year, we're going to be focusing as a family on what we want to do together. I said, well, that's pretty good. I can understand that. How are you going to live? He said, well, I've thought about that, sir. He said, now look, if I went through college as a single person, you've told me you'd pay for my college. So how about you just paying not a dime more, but just paying for what you would pay for my housing, for my schooling, another thing, this last year, and we'll ask Kate's parents to do the same. I said, it won't be enough. You'll have more expenses than you ever imagined. He said, well, I've got that worked out too. He said, I've already got a job lined up at Sam's, and it's going to pay me for the night work $10 an hour. And I thought, $10 an hour? Night work at Sam's? He said, yes, I'm going to get my exercise, and I've got it lined up that I can work 3 to 4 hours every night. So I'll have income coming in. He said, I believe that'll be enough to get us by. You know, I didn't have this rule against marriage ahead of time because I wanted to be against my son being married. I had the rules because I wanted my son not to be in debt and not to get bogged down with a family before his time. But you know, as he's asking and as he's seeking participation and as he's knocking, I can't help but say, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Do you think God is like that as a father? When you approach him in prayer, you say, this is the way I see it, God. You know, God wants to be asked. He doesn't want to be demanded, but he does appreciate our asking and then saying, I'm willing to participate fully in this. I'm not just asking for you to give it outright. And if there's difficulties, we'll knock. We'll work through it because I'm not going to quit on this plan. See, I think in life there's all kinds of people that start something and then quit. Knocking has to do with perseverance. It has to do with believing to the point that you're not going to quit. You've asked, you're committed to the plan, and now you're going to persevere right on through it. See, that's what Jesus is saying in this kingdom principles. If it's grabbed your life, if it's grabbed you to this point, whether we're telling Marilyn's story or your story, and that probably could be some of your stories, and it needs to be every one of his stories. At some point, we need to ask of God, not step back, not participate on our way of thinking, but God, I'm asking, and then I'm participating through seeking. And whatever difficulties come that I cannot overcome, we will continue to ask in a procedure that sounds like knocking, and I believe that you will work in my life. Oh, how families need this, how churches need this, how we all need to be this way. And the next thing we know, by participating like this, we will accomplish things as a people of God, as a church, as families, you and me together, beyond what we could ever do ourselves. Do you believe that? Amen. See, that's where I think Jesus is telling us. Wonderful things can happen. And you can become one of those golden rule type of people that blesses people in every walk of life. Now, I want to be a little short today because we're going to offer this Garden of Prayer time. What we want to do during the Garden of Prayer is just simply say, if you need prayer, come. Not to the front, not to make confession, but go to one of your elders, one of your friends, one of the Lord's under-shepherds, and seek prayer. It may be a need in your life. It may be a victory in your life. You know, if I were going to one of my shepherds, and by the way, Justin will be over here, and I will be at the front, so the elders and the ministers will be here. But it may be like Brother Hennessy back there. He wants to say, you know, I had a baby girl born this week, and I want to rejoice and give God thanks. I'd want to say, hey, I had a grandson this week. I want to thank God for that. I think when we ask for prayer in this way, churches begin to pray for each other in ways that we don't typically do in large gatherings like this. So wherever you are, whether you're participating in a ministry, you've got a victory in your life, a need in your life, it's an opportunity for you to pray with one of your shepherds. What we're going to do now, and of course, if you want to respond, if you want to say, I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior, I want to get baptized in His name, I want to be social, you can do that. We'll be glad to receive you as well. What we want to do is, first of all, ask the shepherds and the ministers to stand and position themselves throughout the church. You can see where they are. And what we don't want to do is to embarrass anybody at all. So this is very quietly done, spending a few moments in prayer. Tommy's going to lead us in singing in several songs. And we're going to ask you to stand. That way, probably people can get out a little easier. And maybe with standing and singing kind of quietly, people will be less noticeable as they go. So I hope that you will take advantage of this. There's several shepherds here this time. This is the time for us to pray for each other, whatever our needs might be. So Tom, lead us in prayer. Let's stand. And this is your time to pray with one of your friends and shepherds. Mom.